Our text this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. So I know that sounds like a lot, and you think that this is a trend. I did the math, and 2 weeks ago we read 38 verses, and last week we read 41, and so this week 45, and next week we'll just read a whole book, maybe. Easter Sunday we're going to read the entire New Testament. We won't do that, but if it's any consolation, one of the verses in here is the shortest verse in the Bible, so it really almost doesn't count, right? More like 44. Okay, we'll hear the word of the Lord this morning from John chapter 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. And so the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world, but those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." You know, Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. And then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. And so the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" And then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And so they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped up in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." And many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. In the 1980s, there was a very popular children's toy that I imagine many of you are familiar with. They were called Care Bears. Care Bears were based on a children's cartoon that went by the same name. Later, there was a full-length movie. There may have been more than one. And I had kind of thought that Care Bears had gone by the wayside until this week. I was walked through the living room, and Mara was watching Care Bears on Netflix. Only it was like a newer version, I guess better than the old version, but apparently they're still around, and people can still see them. If you're not familiar with Care Bears, basically they looked like a regular teddy bear, only they were different colors, and they would have this emblem on their chest that represented which particular bear they happened to be. And so there was Cher Bear, there was Grumpy Bear, there was Funshine Bear, there was Harmony Bear, there was a whole lot of different bears. And so maybe you're curious, how do I know so much about the Care Bears? Well, Google refreshed my memory, but I already knew a lot about them, and I guess I have a confession to make to you this morning. I owned one. I owned a Care Bear. I had my very own Tenderheart Bear. He had like a heart. And you know, I was a sensitive child, and don't judge me because I was just a child. It was like 13, I think, when I got it. But I haven't, and I still have it somewhere, but we haven't located it. Well, I have another confession to make. I also watched the cartoon, like religiously. I don't think I ever saw the movie, or at least not all of it, but I watched the cartoon pretty regularly, and every episode had the same basic plot. So basically, some evil force would invade Care-A-Lot, which is where the Care Bears lived, Care-A-Lot. And it would threaten to wreak havoc and destroy and annihilate and do all these terrible things. And whoever it was that was, all would seem lost, and whoever it was that was about to be annihilated would just cry out and say, "It's too late." To which the Care Bears would respond with their infamous phrase in unison, "It's never too late if you care enough." And then they would institute the Care Bear Stare. And so what this looked like is they would stand in a line and they would hold hands, and their emblems would light up and these beams of light would shoot forth from their chest, forming this rainbow of unstoppable goodness that would destroy whatever it was that was threatening to destroy Care-A-Lot and make it leave, and then it would come back the next episode and just continue. It's never too late if you care enough. You know, that's a nice sentiment. You know, it sounds good. Not a bad lesson for children, and it is a show designed for children. You know, in their naivete and their innocence, they believe that, you know, caring about people, being kind, being generous, being tender-hearted can really make a difference. You know, that it never really is too late. But us adults, we don't really believe that, do we? We know better. And that's not being cynical, it's just being realistic. There are plenty of situations in life where no amount of caring can do enough. Situations in life where we know it really is too late. The story opens with this report that Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, was ill. And so Mary and Martha send word to Jesus to ask him to come and to cure their brother of his illness. And this group of people had a history together. Jesus knew Martha and Mary, and they knew Jesus. And they lived in this village of Bethany, which is in Judea, which is a place where Jesus is not very popular. In fact, in Judea, he's already a wanted man. This is not that long before the crucifixion. And we know that Mary and Martha loved Jesus. They cared deeply for him, and he loved them. And so they would not have sent for him unless it was serious. You know, unless Lazarus had one of these illnesses where if something didn't happen soon, it soon would be too late. You know, Jesus takes his time in getting there. He has apparently some things that are more important to do. And when he finally arrives in Jerusalem, 2 miles from Bethany, he gets word that Lazarus is dead. And we're given this information. He's actually been dead for 4 days. And this is a very significant detail because the Jews believed at this time that after a person died, their soul would sort of hover around the body for 3 days on the off chance that maybe the body would be resuscitated. You know, maybe they weren't really dead, and then the soul could go back into the body. But after the third day, it left, never to return. And so this is John's way of telling us that it was too late for Lazarus. So Martha hears that Jesus is coming, and so she runs to meet him. And the first thing she says to him is, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." You know, in other words, Jesus, you're too late. And they have this conversation where Jesus talks about, he tells her that her brother will rise again, and she affirms this, but that it'll happen someday, but she doesn't seem to believe it could happen right now. At least for now, Martha believes it's too late. She returns home and she calls her sister Mary, and she comes to see Jesus. And when she reaches Jesus, she falls at her feet and she says the very same thing her sister said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." You know, she believed that Jesus could heal diseases. She had witnessed it, you know, giving sight to the blind and making the lame to walk, but raise the dead? No. You know, in her mind, it was too late for Jesus to do anything for Lazarus. Well, Mary began to weep, and those who came with her began to weep, and Jesus started to get a little irritated. You know, in verse 33, we read that Jesus was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. And so the impression you get here is that Jesus is sad, and he is sad, and he will weep later in just a couple of verses. But a more accurate translation of these words would be irritated or frustrated or even angry. You know, Jesus understood that what was happening here is they were doubting the power of God to work in this situation, doubting his power. So when Jesus finally began to weep, and some of the Jews who were consoling Mary, they gave voice to those doubts. You know, they said, "Couldn't this guy who could open the eyes of the blind kept this man from dying?" They believed that Jesus could have made Lazarus better, but once he died, that was it. You know, it was as if in their minds he had crossed this point of no return, that death was that final curtain, and nothing could be done to save him. It was too late. And they arrived at the tomb, and Jesus told some men standing by to remove the stone, and Martha quickly objected, "You know, Lord, he's been in there 4 days. The smell is just going to be overwhelming." You know, in those days, they didn't embalm. They anointed with spices, but there wouldn't have been anything to prevent that process of decay. And Jesus ignored her, and he looked up to heaven and prayed loudly enough for everyone to hear, and prayed to a God who doesn't know the meaning of those three words, "It's too late." With a loud voice, he commanded Lazarus to come out, and out he came. This situation that Lazarus was in was one of those situations where all of the care in the world would have no impact at all. And there was plenty of care to go around. He was surrounded by people who were crying and in tears. They cared about Lazarus, but it was hopeless. But if the Creator of the world wants to do something, there's no situation where it's too late. These moments are opportunities for God to show his glory. And he says as much earlier in the passage, this was a moment for Jesus to show his glory and to show who he really was. And when people witness glory like this, they believe and they worship and they follow, which is exactly what occurred. You know, probably everyone in this room has witnessed a situation or heard about a situation like the situation with Lazarus where, for all intents and purposes, it really was too late. And then God proved it wasn't too late. You know, my paternal grandfather, my dad's dad, passed away a few years ago now. And I may have shared the story with you, but I think it's worth telling again. But at his funeral, you know, people were doing the normal things and sharing memories of him and his life. And a story that I kept hearing being repeated over and over again was about what had happened 7 years prior to his death. He had had a series of massive heart attacks, one right after the other, that had destroyed 75% of his heart. And I remember when we got the call that he was in the hospital and all these things had taken place, and the nurses and the doctors had brought the family in, and they had told the family, it's too late. You know, the family had called other family, and they had talked about amongst themselves, and they had all decided, it's too late. But there was one person who didn't believe that. My grandfather's wife, my grandmother, believed in a God who didn't know the meaning of too late. And so she began to pray fervently for my grandfather. And you know the end of the story. He lived for 7 more years. 7 more years for him to spend time with his family and for them to spend time with him. But most importantly, 7 more years to restore his relationship with God. You have 7 more years to grow closer to God. You know, there are many situations that we may encounter in life where the likelihood of death is not the outcome, but we still feel just as strongly that it's too late for the situation to find resolution. You know, relationships come to mind, particularly marriage relationships. You know, when Don and I were living in Kansas City, we knew a couple that was experiencing some problems in their marriage. And the husband had asked to meet with me and another friend of ours at a restaurant. And so we sat down with him, and he just talked about some of the issues they were dealing with. You know, and I remember thinking as he was talking, you know, trying to be optimistic and encouraging, but in my mind thinking, it is too late. You know, there were things that had been said that could not be unsaid, you know, things that had been done that could not be undone. And we promised that we would pray for him. But I've always wondered how different the outcome may have been if, as we prayed for that situation, and as the friends and family of that couple prayed, and as that couple themselves prayed, how different the outcome could have been if they believed in a God that didn't understand the meaning of too late. That there's always a chance for forgiveness. There's always an opportunity for reconciliation. Of course, the same is true for all other kinds of broken relationships. You know, fathers who think it's too late to heal their relationships with their sons. You know, mothers who think it's too late to heal a relationship with a daughter. You know, siblings who don't speak to each other and don't think that that will ever change. You know, what could a God do who doesn't believe it's ever too late? And then there's the worst kind of broken relationship. You know, the kind that exists between God and the people that he created in his own image. There are so many people that I encounter in my job, and people that you do too, who think they have strayed too far. They have sinned too much. They have failed in too many times. And it's too late for them to have that relationship with God that will lead to eternal life. And to that person, God says, it's never too late. It's never too late. But there's another sense in which it's never too late. If we go back in that conversation that Jesus had with Martha, where he told her that her brother would rise again, you know, Martha thought that he was talking about the resurrection, you know, when all would rise from the dead. And this was a common belief held by many of the Jews in this time period, that God would return to earth and he would judge both the living and the dead, and they would rise to eternal life. And Jesus didn't say anything to suggest that she was wrong. But instead, his response to her was to say, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who believes in me will never die. His point was that faith in him not only guarantees hope for a day in the possibly very distant future, but in the present as well. The transition from this life to the next is much smoother than we might realize. So much so that a follower of Jesus doesn't experience death in quite the same way as someone who does not believe. When their earthly life comes to an end, it's not really an end at all. It's a moment of transition as their life continues in a new form of existence. And so we can have confidence when we pray for someone who has a terrible illness or something unexpected occurs, that if that person dies, it still isn't too late. That prayer for healing has not gone unanswered, although it may appear to us to have been. God simply chose to answer that prayer on the other side of eternity. And when you have eternity to answer prayers, it's never too late. We would wish for a God that would raise everyone from the dead in this life, just like he did with Lazarus. But Lazarus died again. And what God wants to do is so much bigger. God wants to raise us to a life that lasts forever. And he performed this miracle to inspire faith in the even greater miracle that he wanted to do. And he still does this. He still performs miracles to inspire faith, to point people to him. And when we pray, we should always remember this. He might choose our situation to bring someone else to faith. But we also have to remember, if he doesn't answer our prayer in our time, he will answer our prayer in his time. He's never too late. Would you pray with me? Our Father, I suspect that there's someone in this room that